Today's reading comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 26. And he lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven, for so their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets." This is the word of the Lord.
Father God, it's awesome to think about how amazingly powerful your word is. I thank you for that wonderful song to remind us that it's not some old and ancient book of words long lost of their, devoid of their power that we're coming to. It's your powerful word. I am not adequate to preach it, but your Holy Spirit is mighty. None of us is adequate enough to listen and put it into practice, but your Holy Spirit is mighty. May he work mightily through this mighty word, that the people we are now might not be the people we will be when we leave this room. For we ask it in the name of that word of God who walked among us. Amen. The newspapers are full of it. The decision to leave has been made. What happens next? How will people adjust to the new situation? No, I'm not some Brit obsessed about Brexit. I'll leave that to the regular. I'm talking about the headline in Galilee today. It's AD 30, and Jesus has split with the Pharisees. He's chosen 12 unknowns to lead Israel. That's what we've seen if we've been reading from Luke chapter 5, verse 17, through to chapter 6, verse 16. So we need a statement. Jesus needs to stand outside the Kanzler Amt, stand outside number 10, or on the White House lawn, or wherever it is. He needs to stand and he needs to tell us where we're going. And so he does. Just like Moses came down the mountain from God to speak to Israel, so does Jesus. Luke tells us by presenting this talk this way he does in verse 17 that Jesus is about to speak to us from the steps of spiritual authority, and we're going to see the new agenda. Well, it's clear where it begins. It begins with blessing. We saw that in the word smoothie, but this blessing here is spoken into that conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees, between the kingdom and the culture. It's the conflict we all face at work, in our neighbourhood. It's the conflict we're sending our children back into or into as we send them to school. I hope you realise that. But it's also a conflict that goes on in our hearts. A conflict between the kingdom and contentment. So the first conflict then is the conflict between the kingdom and the culture. We always find ourselves in a culture. The ways and the norms of our society. But these ways and norms of the culture, they clash with those of the kingdom. And that's the basic point that I think Jesus wants to get across to us here. He blesses the people of the kingdom and speaks woe, that is trouble and pain, to those whose lives are shaped by the culture. Firstly, he blesses the poor in verses 20 to 21. Then he blesses the persecuted in verses 22 to 23. And then he speaks woe to the rich in verses 24 to 26. So Jesus says, verses 20 to 21, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh." Blessing for the poor is a big theme in the prophets, and it's a big theme in God's world as well. If you want to go to the parts of the world where the kingdom of God is growing fastest, find parts of the world where people are poor. Jesus means it. Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. So what does it mean for us? Well, again, as I say, that blessing for the poor is a theme of the prophets. And Isaiah said that the Messiah would preach good news to the poor. Jesus quotes that in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. So you don't have to flick back all the way to Isaiah. You can see it in Luke chapter 4, 18, that Isaiah promised that good news would be proclaimed to the poor. Why to the poor? Well, you see, God's people were sent away from Jerusalem 586 years before Jesus was born. Those are the people that Isaiah was speaking for. And of course, being sent into exile meant they were poor. They'd lost everything. They were under foreign rule. They owned nothing. And so Jesus brings good news to the poor, that foreign rule and poverty are over. The kingdom of God has arrived. But although it has arrived, it's not fully here. The feasting and the laughing, verse 21, are still to come. Now there is some feasting and laughing. Jesus was at a banquet in chapter 5 with Levi. There is some feasting and laughing now. Maybe there'll be some after the service. But the main feature of the kingdom now is that the lot of God's blessed poor does not change. The kingdom is here, but we're still waiting. That is contrasted with the rich. God will bless the poor who are waiting for him, but it is woe to the rich. And we do need to stop a moment here, because in world terms, we are all rich. Most of us had a good breakfast, and we'll have a good lunch. I'm expecting to enjoy myself today, to laugh. Jesus is warning you, and he is warning me. When we mustn't wriggle out of tricky texts by finding some clever exegetical trick to say, actually, we're okay. Jesus is warning us of danger. And the danger is that we've compromised with the culture. We aspire to the standards of Germany 21st century, or America, or Australia, or England. Who were the rich then in Jesus' day? Well, it was the Sadducees and the Herodians mainly. They weren't waiting for Messiah. They were cozying up to Rome. They were happy to live with Roman culture so they could get on and get rich under Roman rule. They selfishly pursued wealth, so they stopped looking to God. And those who control the culture cannot stand the people of the kingdom, so they persecute them. So Jesus blesses the persecuted. Verses 22 to 23. China once had what it called the Cultural Revolution. You see, if you want to remake the culture, you persecute the enemies of what you want. And today, still, the church in China is persecuted. The church is a threat. Where the culture is strongly Muslim, Hindu, or even Buddhist, the church is persecuted. And in the West too, the culture opposes the kingdom. We need to be realistic here. The true church has never dominated Europe. When the institutional church has been powerful, it has served the culture. And it has persecuted the kingdom of God. And today the culture is increasingly anti-Christian. Our culture opposes the kingdom in its attitude to truth, in its attitude to the idea that there is moral law given by God, in its attitude to sexual ethics. And it may mean we are hated. It may mean we are excluded, as some have been from their jobs already. It may mean we're insulted or called evil. Maybe you have been already. You see, there is a conflict between the kingdom and the culture. And that creates the second conflict. The kingdom versus contentment. I'll be honest, I don't know about you, but I know what I want. I want an easy life. I want a happy wife, lovely and contented and smiley children. I want a big house like my parents. My parents grew up in Sevenoaks, one of the nicest parts of England. I want a nice big house like they had. Okay, I have the lovely wife. She's not here right now. Children seemed happy enough when I left them in the Erzgebirge. But I want stuff. I want stuff for me and, of course, for them. I'm not totally selfish. I want it for me and I want it for them now. I want material contentment. And I don't believe I'm alone here. Look at verse 25. Woe to you who are full now, you shall be hungry. But I want to be well fed now. I want to laugh now. Look at verses 26 and 22. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for their fathers did to the false prophets. Verse 22. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. But I want people to speak well of me. I don't want people to curse me. I don't want people to insult me. I want a secure and improving income. Not the insecurity of potential exclusion, as verse 22 tells me could well be coming. You see, the kingdom came to the poor in Jesus' day. The people who were waiting for it, as opposed to those making comfy compromises with Rome. And choosing the kingdom may make us poor. There's nothing wrong with money or wealth. There's nothing wrong with being well paid. It is wrong to pursue wealth and not God's ways. On the last day, God will not ask you and will not ask me if the car on the drive was the car we aspired to. He will ask you if we built his kingdom. On the last day, God will not ask me if I got the house like the one my parents had in Sevenoaks. He will ask me how many rooms in his kingdom did I fill with the souls of others. And that may mean hunger and weeping now. It will make us poorer than others in the culture. Because we don't keep things for ourselves. It will mean waiting for the kingdom that is already here to come in its fullness. Waiting. Deferring our happiness. And so each of us daily faces that choice. Is it going to be the contentment that my heart knows it wants? Or is it going to be the kingdom? Will I go the way that's easy for me? Or will I stand up for the kingdom and potentially suffer for it? Every day I face that choice in some way. I don't doubt you do too. How will I spend that money? How will I speak to that person? What will I talk about today? Keep it easy? Or keep it kingdom? Making that right choice may make us poorer. We faced that this year, actually. Well, unfortunately, the Lord was doing the choosing, because if I was doing the choosing, I'd have got it wrong. But we live in a part of London that's basically too expensive for us, and what we can afford is pretty poor, if you consider that we've got four children to put in it. And so I started applying for jobs in parts of Britain where basically our money could afford a lot more house. And I was turned down again and again and again. Many places didn't even get back to me. And then I got offered a promotion at my place of work. Pay increase? Zero. Time extra, I'm a teacher, you see. Time extra off timetable. Time not teaching to fulfill my new responsibilities? Zero. I teach at a Church of England school, and my new responsibility is to run the entire spiritual life of the school. That's one enormous door has just opened to ministry. Keep it easy. Keep applying for the jobs. Keep looking for that place in the cheaper part of England. Or keep it kingdom. Well, I made the wrong choice, and the Lord made sure that I got the right thing. Making the right choice, you see, may well make us poorer. It may make us hungry. It may make us less happy. It may mean for other people, we're quite fortunate in this one, but it may mean for other people that their children don't have the nice middle class lives we want for them. It may mean that school for them, work for us, may not be the happy place we want it to be. It may mean that we end up serving the real poor on the mission field. You know, choosing the kingdom may mean people are not as nice to us as we hope. We may end up, we never know where things are going, genuinely persecuted. But that is the choice we each daily face. There is a conflict. It's between the kingdom and the culture. And we need to take sides. And that will create conflict. The conflict I've described, that conflict in our hearts between the kingdom and contentment. We depend on his blessings if we're to stay Christian. He says, blessed are the poor. Blessing is for those who keep it kingdom. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father God, if we are to keep it kingdom, we need insight into our hearts and the ways that we seek and pursue contentment in this age rather than pursuing your kingdom. We need the discernment to recognize where we are not living for you, but living for ourselves. And we need the strength and the courage to keep it kingdom and not pursue contentment. Fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with his power, his wisdom, his comfort, that we might seek first the kingdom and the righteousness that comes with it, trusting you to give us all things we need and to give us the contentment of the kingdom that is much sweeter than that of the culture. Amen.